Get ready to jump the boards and go behind the bench with the Anaheim Ducks coaching staff. From untold stories to the X's and the O's, we'll explore it all right here on Behind the Bench.
Welcome into Behind the Bench on Duck Stream, presented by Gettle. Alexis Downey here today with assistant coach Brent Thompson. Brent, welcome to the Paul Kariya studio. Your first time here.
It's awesome. Thank you. Thank you for having me.
How have you been adjusting to Southern California?
Well, quite honestly, I love it. The sun shines every day. It's definitely a big change from the East Coast. Where we were I've been there the last 12 years, where it's a little gray on some days here. It's beautiful. The sun shines and the facilities are great. The Ducks are fantastic. I think it's been a great experience so far, and hopefully it continues to get better.
Always sunshine down here in Southern California. I love it too. But let's jump into some of your background for Ducks fans that don't know you, your first season here, as we just said, in Southern California. So going back, you're a native of Calgary. Yep. So growing up in Calgary, what was that like for you? And did you have any siblings?
I do. I have my sister. I'm the oldest. So I have a younger sister and a younger brother. My younger brother played just typical Canadian family, if you will. She figure skated and was involved in everything as a youth. My brother, same idea. He skated and played all the way up to junior A in Canada, and then got into boxing and went a different direction. Probably the most typical Canadian blue collar family. I got into hockey and couldn't get enough of it playing. I mean, I had a rink literally. You could walk out my door, walk down a little alley, and we had three outdoor rinks, and I was on the ice 24/7. I would recess, as I would hide my skates over at the shack. I'd hide my skates so at recess I could run over and put my skates on and play hockey. So that was where the love started.
Were you a fan of the Flames growing up too, once they relocated?
Yes.
yes.
But I was a huge Flyers fan.
Really?
I absolutely loved the Flyers. I love Bobby Clark, the Bobby Clark story. I mean, I loved every part of him. My dad was a Maple Leaf fan, which we had really two teams to cheer for in Canada back then. It was Montreal and Toronto, and he didn't like the Montreal Canadiens too much, but he respected them. But Toronto was, you know, his team. And then once Calgary obviously came in, I mean, I really enjoyed the Flames, and remember meeting Willie Plett and Phil Russell at a signing. Thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
So it was pretty cool. But I was a Flyers fan. Originally, Flyers fan. Loved the Broad Street Bullies.
I was going to say, was it because of the guys on the team or just the way the team played? And
Both. Yeah. I loved the way they played. I loved the fighting back in the day as a kid. And we used to have this team called the Cowboys before the Wranglers. And it was in the World League. I think it was the World League. I don't remember going, but I remember my uncle telling me a story. I went and they fought, and I got glued to watching the fights as a toddler, but I don't remember it. But he said it was he could just tell that grabbed me. So it was fun.
Did you get to go to any Flames games while you were growing up?
Oh yeah. Yeah, I sure did.
Do you remember your first game?
Yeah, I do. Calgary played Vancouver. And we bought scalp tickets for my dad. We didn't have season seats, but he went down and tried to find me tickets and bought me tickets and took me to the game. It was awesome.
Do you remember if you got to see the Flyers at all?
I did get to see the Flyers. Yes, okay. I did. That was one of the games that I had to go. It wasn't my first one, but I did have to get to them. And same thing. My dad got tickets and took me down, and I got to see them. And I actually got to, we waited after like the fans and waited for all the players to get by and signed. I had a pennant, those pennants, a Flyers pennant for my room. And I brought it down and got it signed, and
that's awesome.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. So it was a big impact in you don't think about it, but just that little signature, that was a big impact in my life. So
at what point did hockey become serious for you and you knew, okay, maybe I can do something with this?
Well, I think the year I made Medicine Hat in the Western Hockey League, I kind of went in on a try, went there, and I was listed by him, but I went there and I didn't know if I was going to make it or get sent back to midget. And all of a sudden I was sitting there and they go, I go get a place. And then the year progressed. And I think that was when I started thinking, hey, I can play this game and make it a career maybe. And probably from that point on, I, you know, jumped at it. And especially didn't really want to work on the farm too much. So that really motivated me. Once I got to play hockey, I could get going on that path.
So you grew up on a farm?
No, not okay. at all. I like to think I'm a weekend warrior. My parents both grew up on the farm. My dad had, you know, part of a farm, mm-hmm. and then my cousins all have this huge cattle ranch. So in the summers, mm-hmm. I was the courtesy labor mm. on the farm. So we did a lot of, that's why I say weekend warrior. I did spend a lot of time on the farm, got to see how hard a work that is and go through it a little bit. And one summer in particular, I worked on a cattle ranch. Our neighbors mm-hmm. Had it, and there was a program that you could do. And I remember getting up at 6 a.m. doing feeding the cattle and working the mixer mill and shoveling grain and baling. And I was like, oh, baby, I'd much rather play hockey.
Yeah, yeah, so, different direction.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something that you talked with Pat Verbeek about? I mean, he's got the farming background.
No, not at all, actually. Not at all, no.
Maybe
that's what we have
about.
To. Yeah, that's right.
Pig farming was his background.
Yeah,
so.
Well, I'm not a pig farmer. we had cattle and crop.
Okay. Well, once you got to that level with hockey, then too, you were a defenseman. So mm-hmm. what style of play did you have? Did you try to kind of be like the Broad Street Bullies? Did you like that roughness, or were you more like, what style of play did you have?
Well, I think you're in survival mode sometimes. I think, you know, when I played major junior, I was more or less an offensive defenseman. I could skate. I could put points up in junior. And I think, you know, LA drafted me in the second round. So when going into training camp and playing in LA and through that course, you know, you kind of morph into how you to make the team, mm-hmm. what role are you going to be? And I realized that, and I wasn't afraid of fighting or anything like that. And mm-hmm. I think in that era, I think everybody actually fought and kind of played a hard-nosed game back then. And obviously fighting is just kind of slowly drifting away. But, mm-hmm. but as far as, you know, I was an offensive guy in junior, I still had that bite and had a hard-nosed D, if you will. And then by the time I got to pro, it was more just hard-nosed defensive D, move the puck and help, you know, obviously take care of your teammates. And if I had to fight, I would. And mm-hmm. never really looked for it. It just kind of happened.
When you were drafted by the Kings, your draft year, what was that? Thinking back on it, what was that experience like for you and your family?
It was awesome. I mean, it was like the first step of a dream. Like, I couldn't mm-hmm. believe it when they called my name, because back then there was 12 rounds and I was sitting in the stands. It was in actually Minnesota and they called my name and I got to walk down to the table. It was just an unbelievable experience to be able to be drafted one and then throw the jersey on, just kind of go through that whole process of the draft and the excitement, the adrenaline. My parents were obviously, it was something kind of a payback for them, for all the sacrifices they made through the course of their life mm-hmm. for me to be able to play hockey at a high level.
When you had your NHL debut, because you did play a number of seasons of professional hockey, but specifically on the NHL side, did you have anyone there?
My mom and dad came, but I don't know if they were there. Quite honestly, I can't remember. It's how okay. long ago it is. But my mom and dad both came. Actually, my brother, my sister, my mom and dad all came to LA my rookie year, and they flew in. And yes, they were there to experience me in the NHL. It just, I don't know if it was my very first game, because my very first game was actually in Boston Garden, which was pretty cool.
Was
the old
say,
original
wow.
Boston Garden. So we were on the road, and it's a long ways to go. So, but I remember the call up and we flew in and played Boston Garden, and I got to play in MSG and obviously all these old rinks that aren't necessarily around. Like Chicago Stadium isn't around anymore. Boston Garden isn't around, but I got to play on those, which was pretty cool.
Looking back on your playing career professionally, who are some guys that you were able to play against or play on the same team with too? Anyone that sticks out?
Well, the obvious is Wayne Gretzky. I mean, I was honored,
right.
Very blessed to have teammates like him to look up to and to watch, and the way he carried himself. And, you know, one of the funniest, you know, that him, just Wayne Gretzky, the greatest player in the world, hands down, mm-hmm. smartest. I just obviously respect him an awful lot. And then you look at all the other guys I had, you know, obviously being in LA at that time, Larry Robinson was at the end of his career, and I got to play with Larry Robinson, which, you know, Montreal Hall of Famer, Stanley Cups, everything. He was fantastic. Mm-hmm. So that whole team was, I felt very, very lucky, because maybe that was some of the issue. I was in awe of these guys, because it was Gretzky, Dave Taylor, Luke Robitaille, Jari Kurri, Thomas Sandstrom. The whole team was packed with Paul Coffey. I mean, had a cup of coffee with us in LA. And there was a whole really a big group of NHL All-Stars that I was very fortunate to be able to play with and watch and learn from.
Do you have any good stories from those times?
The stories... probably. Yeah, there's some stories, but nothing we're going to talk about.
Fair enough. So after your playing career, you made the transition to coaching. Mm-hmm. Was that always the plan for you?
No, I didn't know where I was going to go after playing. I just thought about playing all the time. It was in my head that I'm just going to play as long as I can. And, you know, I loved what I did. I mean, how many people bang around in the minors for, you know, I was 9 years in the minors and I think six up, so like a 15-year playing career, and the 9 years in the minors, you know, puts a lot of years in it, but I loved every minute of it. I loved just being at the rink and getting to play the game that you love. So the coaching side of it probably didn't come into my mind until later, like the last 2 or 3 years. All of a sudden I was like, you know, this would be good to stay in coaching. And at that point, I think because I was one of the captains, I was always doing a little bit extra with guys after practices anyways, whether they're little fun drills or little shooting drills. And then one of the GMs actually in Hershey, I said, hey, have you ever thought about coaching? I said, well, maybe. We'll see how this goes. Let's just talk about playing right now. And but then ever since he laid that bug in my ear, I kind of had that coaching bug. And then when I got a taste of it, Larry Plow from St. Louis, Steve Plow, his son, was coaching in Peoria, which is St. Louis's farm team at the time, reached out and gave me the opportunity. So I'm very thankful for that, because all of a sudden they kind of laid out an option for me, and I grabbed it and became the assistant coach in Peoria and worked with the D, and it was a great experience right off the hop. So I was with that organization for four years with St. Louis and Peoria, and then I took over Alaska because I wanted to become a head coach. I wanted to learn how to run a team, and so then I went down to Alaska.
What was it like living there?
Alaska?
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
That was unbelievable. I think the experience, a lot of people just think Alaska is kind of like just igloos and, I don't know, snow and everything else like that, but it was awesome. Living in Anchorage, it's a beautiful city. You're right on the water, the Cook Inlet, and the mountains go right into the ocean. So as far as a beautiful, a little, and it's cold, and there is snow, but it's just a great lifestyle. It's kind of a throwback 80s, you know, kind of lifestyle. At least when I was there, everybody had outdoor rinks. There was outdoor ice everywhere. We were close to a ski hill, so my kids got to learn how to ski that year. Wow. And I was fortunate to have a good team, and we finished 2 great years there. 1 year we won the cup and set records, and kind of spiraled me into the next step of my career. So it was a great experience in Alaska.
Did you ski at all too while you were there? Or
yeah.
Obviously pretty busy, but.
I grew up skiing.
Okay.
Even though Calgary, we got Banff right next to us. I was skiing all the time.
I would love to see it there.
Yeah, I used to ski. Every time I wasn't playing hockey, I was going to the ski hill. It was awesome.
Do you still ski?
I haven't skied in a long time. I don't know if my body would. I think my body might break skis now.
There's some great skiing here in California. If you ever get the chance. Oh,
I've heard. I heard. So yeah, I would love to get back, but the timing, I don't think it's going to work out, but I still love to ski, and it would be nice to get out there someday. The kids learned to snowboard, which is nuts. I can't snowboard. I'm terrible at that. I tried it. It was horrible.
So. I mean, just getting the experience of living in Alaska too, as far as just that progressing your coaching career to going into the next step and then eventually being with the Islanders organization, how much do you feel like you learned in those early years that you took into your next steps?
Well, I think each place you learn, you know, like I think when I was in Peoria and just kind of dipping my feet in to the coaching career at that point, you know, I was fresh out of playing. So there was a real easy connection with the players. I played with half of them or against half of them, I should say. And then now I'm coaching them. So there was a real easy connection and we had a good bond as far as our group. And then just learning the drills and what to look for and then seeing the other side of it was there. But then all of a sudden, wham, I got hit in my the first month that I took over Alaska, I learned more in that month as far as running a team, managing a team, from budget, salary cap, player trades, cutting people for the first time, and building a team. I learned that in a month, and it was like a whirlwind. And then from that, progressing each year, just learning little details within the game, whether it's, you know, systems at work, how to motivate a player, you know, different ways to reach out to players. Mm-hmm. That's really the biggest thing I learned through that course. And then just building from that, and then the connections once I got into the Islanders, the other coaches that I got to work with. So you kind of learn from each coach. I was fortunate enough to learn from a Stanley Cup champ with Trotz, mm-hmm. Barry Trotz. And then obviously before, you know, there was Lamoriello's Lou and Chris Lamoriello, who had been very successful in New Jersey. So, you know, picking their brains. And quite honestly, once I got into the Islanders organization, you know, it was, again, just another big step and big jump, and it was pretty fun. Like, obviously this is, I do it because I love the game, mm-hmm. and you know, you're always trying to learn. And now that brings me to Anaheim, and Greg Cronin's fantastic. Like, I love working with him. I love learning different terminology, different ways to teach, how to you know, one-on-ones, defend. You know, I think when you quit learning, you're kind of done. And I love learning every step of the way with the new coaches.
When did you first meet Greg Cronin?
With the Islanders.
Yeah.
Actually, Garth, at the time, Garth Snow was a GM, and they asked if I would go down to Bridgeport. So I went from Bridgeport, then coached for the New York Islanders for 2 years. And when my first year in the Island, that was the first time the New York Islanders made the playoffs in, I don't even know how many years. Mm-hmm. And we lost to Pittsburgh in the first round. And the next year was a little bit of an off year. And then after that year, they asked to go, if I would go back down and run the minor league team again. Mm-hmm. I was an assistant under Jack Capuano. And then so they asked me to go back down. So when I went back down, again, I was there. Then now I was there in Bridgeport for another 10 years, mm-hmm. as head coach with different assistants. And it ended up being, a great experience there. So, that's kind of – then in that time frame when they asked me to go back down – that's when I met Greg, because Greg came in and became the assistant coach in New York, handled the penalty kill on the defense. And mm-hmm. so instantly I was kind of, I gravitated to him. I kind of liked what he was saying and teaching. And we kind of had the same philosophies back then on how to teach D and how to, you know, work with D and what they should, like basic skills. Mm-hmm. And so it was just kind of a natural bond at that point. And I enjoyed every training camp. And then through the course of the year, you always talk to, you know, your NHL versus your minor league team. There's communication on what you're doing and what you want to teach. So there's consistency in the organization. And then again, he went in his way to Colorado to evolve his career. And, mm-hmm. and I just stayed with the Islanders and continued on my path. And we just stayed in touch. And then it was a, you know, everything happens for a reason. There was a, you know, an opportunity here. And, you know, I thought, what a great chance to work under such a great guy and an intense, hardworking guy with a, you know, slightly different, a slightly different philosophy on how to teach versus what I've been going through with the Islanders. So mm-hmm. it was a great opportunity. And then, so here I am.
It worked out perfectly.
Yeah.
When you were also in New York, you had the chance to help develop Ryan Strome, and now you get to work with him again. How full circle is that for you?
It's awesome. I love seeing Ryan as a rookie. You know, great kid. He worked hard. Offensive instincts off the charts. He dominated the power play. And then obviously when he finally got up to the Island, he was kind of had to fight through some a little bit of adversity, you know, playing on the third line, second power play, really not getting time and kind of finding his way. And it's good to see it full circle where he's kind of evolved himself into a leader, a mature, just a good man. And, mm-hmm. you know, I'm looking forward to continue to work and push him and get us into the playoffs and do great things here. So I'm excited to be able to see him. And yeah, it is kind of cool full circle because you see these guys as young, I'd say babies, but young guys just kind of dipping their toes into pro hockey. And then all of a sudden you see him as a man married with kids and you're going, wow, you know, big step.
He's grown up.
Yeah, he's all grown up.
Well, when you came here to Anaheim, this new opportunity for you, what, did you have any expectations or did you have any ideas of what to expect coming here?
Well, I think you always have expectations of winning. At the end of the day, our goal is to win. And, you know, I know that we're in a bit of a you call it a rebuild, but I think we have some fantastic talent, some fantastic youth. Our D is young and some of the vets are great. Like, I mean, all like there's a good mix in the group here. So right now, obviously things aren't trending as far as points and winning. But ultimately, that was our expectation coming in. I mean, Greg wants to win. We understand that there's a process and we have to stick to the process and there's a point of development, but there's also that time where we want to win. I mean, you play this sport to win. You play a game to win. Like, I got to tell you, anytime, you know, you play a game, like whether it's cards, sorry, anything, I'm wanting to win the dang game, right? I don't play a game to lose.
And, the competitive spirit.
You know, that doesn't really sit with me too well, and it doesn't sit with most true pro athletes. And I think our guys have that mindset. We're in every game. So the expectation is to win and develop along the way. And we have some fantastic young kids that I love being able to be part of the development with.
Yeah. And kind of going along with that too. I mean, like young guys on the team this year, some of the rookies, Pavel Minchikov, some of these younger guys, Jackson Lacombe, what has it been like to see those defensive guys grow this season?
Great. Like I think they've all taking steps in the right direction. I think you look at Minty and, you know, just learning little details in the game, working on it, just a little skating, a little, you know, improving his shot, when in the right time to step up. I mean, you're going to make mistakes and I mean, they're teenagers and they're playing in the National Hockey League. So you're going to see these little mistakes, but can they improve or learn from them? And I think that's the biggest thing. You know, Jackson, same thing. Like he's, you know, constantly wanting to get better. And that's what I like about these young kids. Even Luno, who just, you know, is off on his way to the World Juniors right now. These young guys that they're wanting to learn, they're wanting to get better. And they know they're a part of something special because I do think there's something special brewing here.
With the penalty kill in particular, that's an area that you have your hand in. A lot of growth this season from last year too, and just bringing what you've been able to bring to it. Have you been happy with the growth on that end? Just seeing the guys develop on the penalty kill too?
Moments. Yeah, moments.
There's always teaching moments.
There's always teaching moments. I think at the end of the day, I think we're improving on that. I think that was our goal right from the get-go, is to be better, improve, get over 80%. I think there was a time we were 84. We dropped a little bit, a couple games here and there. But I'm happy with the progression that they've got. I believe we can even be better. I like the guys. They're buying into doing it. The pressure mindset, the attack mindset on a kill is kind of what I believe. I believe we can be better. I mean, obviously there's little details within the structure that we have to tighten up and learn. But again, it's a little bit of a process here. I'm just looking forward to continually building and growing and getting some of these younger kids involved in that kill. You know, so in 2-3 years, they're a dominant killer, hopefully even by the end of this year.
Outside of hockey, you have two sons and a wife, and you're busy off the ice too, but your sons, Tage and Tice, they are not defensemen. They were not defensemen growing up, but what made you kind of push, or did you put, how did that happen, I guess?
I think they just were, I mean, obviously they're around it. You know, like a firefighter and a police officer, more often than not, their kids eventually become police officer firefighters. I mean, really, if you kind of look at that, they definitely have an advantage in that aspect. And I think for us, they were around all the time. I took them to the rink. And I think that was part of me being in the minors. I had them at the rink a lot. The ice time was always available. So they could just be around. And so, you know, there was no pushing really. They just were around. And, you know, even funny is Tice was a stick boy for me in Bridgeport, my first year in Bridgeport in the American Hockey League. And here he's got traded to the Islanders. He's playing for the Bridgeport Islanders, which was where he was when he was a stick boy at 10 years old. So it's kind of funny. And it didn't really have to push him. They loved the game. They wanted to be at the rink. Quite honestly, there was times where I was like, please don't ask to come to the rink because I don't want to go back today. And they were like that. Like, Dad, let's go. And I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to go today. So they themselves were motivated. And I think that was just, if you have passion for the game, you're going to be good, or you're going to get involved in the game the right way. So
You mentioned to me before this started that Tate was almost a goalie. He's definitely not a goalie.
No, it was, yeah, he was, he wanted to be a goalie. He thought he wanted to be a goalie. We were actually playing in Providence. Was right before Providence. You remember a goalie named Hannu Toivonen? I had him grab me some goalie gear and we put goalie gear on him. And then I ended up in coaching in Peoria. And we played a game, and he wanted to be goalie. He kept saying, I want to be goalie, I want to be goalie. So I got him the gear anyways. Long story short, I got him the gear. We go to play goalie, and his team wins 6-1. And I'll never forget it because he literally stat and those games were across the ice. It wasn't a full ice game, but it was he was so young that it was the cross the ice game, the width-wise of the rink. And they won 6-1. He had one shot against the whole game. And it went in because he wasn't even paying attention. He had no idea. And he was just frustrated that all his team was scoring goals. So he's like, I don't want to be goalie anymore, Dad. And I'm like, okay, good. Enough's enough. We don't need to be this goalie. So,
how proud are you of just being able to see where both of your sons are at? And just, I mean, both being drafted to the NHL, both being able to be in professional hockey now too.
No, I'm extremely, extremely happy for them and thankful. Very proud of what they've done so far, and whether it's in the sport world or whatever, I'm just happy for them. I'm proud because they're good kids. So obviously you're a proud dad, and I'm a proud grandpa actually.
I was gonna mention that too, I'm a grandpa.
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Tage and Rachel had a baby there. Oh, obviously had a baby, and his name's Brooks, so he's my first grandson, and I have another one on the way. So
that's so exciting.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. So it's kind of cool.
You get to spend some time in the off season.
All the time. Yep. Off season, all the time. Like, to be honest, we all have houses in Phoenix, which we do things ass backwards or sorry, backwards. we go to Phoenix in the summer to melt.
Yeah, I was gonna
but
say,
to hang out.
Hot there.
Yeah. To hang out. We golf a lot together. I mean, every weekend or almost every night, to be honest, we're together for either a dinner, a family dinner. So I like to think our family is very close. My wife's family is from Phoenix. So that's kind of our home base, if you will, where we kind of all meet up, hook up, and golf is cheap in the summer there, and we get out as much as possible.
Early, though.
Early. Well, yeah. It's whenever.
Yeah.
I can handle the heat.
Okay.
I'll deal with the heat if I get to be on the course with the boys.
Oh, good. Outside of hockey and golf, I mean, what other hobbies do you like to enjoy?
Golf.
Yeah.
No, really.
Like everyone in hockey, really.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I used to do a lot of hiking when we were in Alaska. I really enjoyed getting up into the mountains and hiking. So I think it's more just the fact that I'm in the heat in the summer that I don't hike as much anymore. But when we were there during COVID, when the COVID, everything kind of was shut down, we went to Phoenix and we did do a lot of mountain hiking there. And so I enjoy getting out, hiking the mountains and just going for long walks. Not on the beach holding hands, but long walks on the mountains.
Do you get to go back to Calgary much? Do you still have family there?
I haven't been back. I do have my mom still there. My brother and my sister are still there, and I'm actually going this summer, yes.
Oh, good.
So, yeah, it'll be a nice – I haven't been there since before COVID. And they've been down to see me, though, which is good. And but, yeah, this summer will be my first summer back in probably 4 years.
Well, that's awesome. Yeah. I got to see Banff. I've just seen so many
gorgeous,
amazing pictures of it, and it just looks so beautiful.
Yeah, if there's that's a bucket list.
Is it? Yeah.
You have to go there. Yeah. Enjoy Banff. Enjoy the city. Enjoy the mountains, the lakes. Go canoeing. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. It's a different world. Really is.
Well, Brent, this has been so awesome having you on Behind the Bench and getting to know more about you and what you've been able to bring to Anaheim. So, thank you for taking the time today.
Thank you for having me.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.